I'd like you to turn this morning in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I prepared a message this morning that I think will apply to every mother that is here. But in addition to that, I think it will apply to every father that is here. It will apply to everyone here, whether you're a mother or father, or whether you're not a mother or father. And in my opinion, it'll apply to anyone here that is following the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if you're here today and you aren't following the Lord, you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, it'll apply to you as well. So we pretty well hit everybody, amen? Pretty well hit everybody. The title of my message this morning is He Calms the Storm. And if there's anyone that can understand how important it is for storms to be calmed, it is mothers, in my opinion. They go through a lot. But all of us, at one time or another in our lives, either have, are, or will go through a storm. Speaking proverbially, of course, but throughout the Scripture, the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, there is mention of storms. There's mention of natural catastrophes and storms in the natural realm. But it also, throughout Scriptures, it talks about storms of life, situations that come. Some were prepared for, some were not prepared for. Some storms just come suddenly, like they did on the Sea of Galilee. It could be a beautiful, clear sky, and suddenly those infamous winds would start up and the waves would be taller than the masts on the ships. And that's what happens in life sometimes. Things happen that we're not expecting. And then other times we see storms on the horizon. And, you know, the red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, a sailor's warning. The fact that a storm is coming. And sometimes we see that and we can prepare for it. But at the end of the day, when you're in the middle of a storm, it doesn't matter whether you were prepared or not prepared. What counts is if you're ready to survive it. Amen? If you're ready to survive it. And I don't care where you live in the world. Physically, you're going to go through storms. You say, well, I'm going to go to the desert. Desert doesn't have storms. Well, have you ever heard of dust storms, right? Those desert storms that come up and they blind you and actually can bury you in the sand. So you say, well, I'll go to the Midwest. They don't have storms. Then the tornado comes. And you say, well, I'll move to California, as my relatives did during the Dust Bowl days. They don't have storms in California, but I can vouch for the fact I was raised there. They do have storms. You let a half an inch of rain fall in Los Angeles, and you got worldwide panic, right? And even California has storms, whether they're political or physical, they have storms. So we'll move to the Northwest because they don't have any storms there. Hello? Anyone here remember the Columbus Day storm? Some of you remember that? Sure. No, wherever you go in this world, you will find storms. It is the way of things with our planet, but it is also the way of things in our walk with the Lord. And there's reasons for storms. Sometimes God will allow them to continue for a season. There's other times God delivers us quickly from storms. But He knows the reasons why. And it is important that we understand that there is a way to survive the storm. And that's what I want to talk about. In Psalms 107, beginning of verse 23... we read a description of what it's like to be in a storm if you are a sailor or a mariner. Psalms 107, in some of your margins, you'll note, it is the beginning of book 5. The Psalms are comprised of 150 chapters, but it's 5 books. The Psalm is 5 books, really. And the 5th book of Psalms is Psalms 107 through Psalms 150. And so this begins the 5th of 5 books that comprise the book of Psalms. And in this 107th Psalms, there's incredible things to read, but it reiterates over and over in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, you hear these words repeated. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 5 times it mentions that. that men would give praise to the Lord, that people would worship the Lord, that they would honor the Lord. But in verse 23 through verse 32, we have the description of a storm. It says these words, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." So if you want to see the works of the Lord and the wonders of the deep, you are a sailor, or you're a mariner. You know, how many like the beach? How many like the ocean, right? How many would like to go to the beach right now? How many would rather be there now than here? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's wonderful. And it has wonders beyond our comprehension. But it's also a wonder when you're a sailor, when you're a mariner, and you're out there on the great waters. Verse 25. "For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lift up the waves of the sea." So the storm starts. The storm starts. The waves begin to be restless. Verse 26. "They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble." The waves are getting taller. Some of you have been on those boats in the middle of the ocean when those storms come up. In the Atlantic, the Andrea Gale, that story, if you saw that movie, The Perfect Storm, how quickly things can converge and the waves become taller than massive buildings. Verse 27 describes the sailors or the mariners on those boats. "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end." That phrase, "at their wits' end," in the Hebrew means they have tried everything they know to do. Their wisdom is exhausted. They've done everything they can do to weather the storm, and they reach a point in a terrible storm where they don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do. Verse 28, "Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses." That reminds us of the Jonah story. And how Jonah boarded that ship for Tarshish. And as they were going, a great storm came up. And the mariners said, "Every one of you start bailing water, doing this, tying the mast, do whatever you have to do." It didn't help. The storm got worse and worse and worse. And the ship was flooding. And so finally they said, "All of you pray to the God that you know hears your prayers." And they did. And nothing seemed to help. And finally they cast lots. Which maybe, you know, for those who don't understand about casting lots, spin a bottle, whatever. And it fell on Jonah, and they threw him overboard, and the storm ceased. So when you're in a storm, find someone to throw overboard. It's their fault. No, not really, no. That was all intended for Jonah. That storm was built for Jonah. But they were at their wits' end. They cried out to the Lord, verse 28, in their trouble, and he brings them out of distresses. And verse 29 is our text this morning. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. How many are glad the Lord calms the storm? Amen. No matter what storm you're going through, be it a small one or being a large one, nobody likes storms. And so he calms the storms so that its waves are still. Verse 30, "Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven." They made it to where they were headed. And I want you to know today, Christians, I want you to know, men and women of God, you're going to make it to where God wants you to be. Irregardless of the storms, you're going to make it. Verse 31, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders." When we get together, we ought to thank the Lord that he's brought us through the storms. Amen? If you're glad he's brought you through some storms in your life, give praise to God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you say, "Well, I'm in one right now." Well, let's just thank the Lord that he's going to get you out of that one. Amen? Amen. And you say, "Well, I'm not in one now, but I got a feeling one's coming." Then let's thank him that he's going to deliver you out of that one. Amen. Either way, we have much to thank God for. But the important thing is knowing what to do in the storm. Turn back a few pages to the 89th Psalm, please. Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Psalms 89 was written by a man named Ethan the Ezrahite. Some of your Bibles will have that notation. This psalm, not written by David, but it is a compilation, or the Hebrew word is maskil. It describes the things that God can do. It describes who God is and what God is and His power. And what's interesting about this psalm is that it says that it was written by Ethan the Ezrahite. When you go to 1 Kings chapter 4 and read about Ethan the Ezrahite, what you discover is that passage is really about Solomon. And it says that Solomon was wiser than all the men on the earth. And it describes God's threefold blessing to Solomon. And one of the blessings was wisdom. But what's interesting is it says, and Solomon was wiser than, and then it mentions Ethan the Ezrahite. Solomon was wiser even than Ethan the Ezrahite, which indicates to me that Ethan the Ezrahite was a pretty smart guy. And that's why he's mentioned first. In the psalm just before this, Psalms 88, this is a compilation of Heman the Ezrahite. And in 1 Kings 4, it mentions Heman being a pretty wise guy. My point is this, Solomon was the wisest man alive, but Ethan, who wrote Psalms 89, wasn't far behind. He was a pretty sharp guy. And how many know it's a good practice to listen to sharp guys or ladies, amen? How many know that mama always knows best? We used to say father knows best, but I think the truth is mama knows best. Sure. A lot of wisdom in mother. A lot of wisdom in mothers. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 on to the end of the chapter, ascribes great wisdom to women of God. But, you know, that passage has as much to say about men and children as it does about mothers and women. It does. And it ascribes to women the recognition of who they are, but it says that their husbands take safety in them and their children rise up and call them blessed, right? So, getting back to the Psalms 89, what I'm about to read to you in verse 8 and 9 are the words from a pretty wise man. And this is what he says. Verse 8 and 9 of Psalms 89. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Who is mighty like you? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Hallelujah. This real smart guy recognized the fact that God was mighty, that he was faithful, and that he rules the raging sea. That's the God we serve today. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve today. How many believe he's a mighty God? He's a mighty God, and he can do anything he wants to. And he can speak to the sea, as we'll see in a moment in Matthew 8. He can speak to the sea and say, be still, and the sea has to be still. You are mighty, Lord. Faithfulness surrounds you. He said, God is a faithful God. How many know God is a faithful God? Wow, he's never failed us, and he never will. Even in the storm, God will be faithful. His faithfulness surrounds him. And then thirdly, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. He was prophetically speaking there, in my opinion, on what we read in Matthew chapter 8. Thousands of years before it even happened, he was describing what happened when Jesus and the disciples went out on a boat to do ministry in another location and a storm came up. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. And read the story. Matthew chapter 8. verses 23 through 27. He says, God is a mighty God. God is a faithful God. And God is the God that calms the sea. And it's almost like a fulfillment of that Psalm 89, 8 and 9. Look at Matthew 8, 23. Now when Jesus had gone into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. Does that sound like some of the storms we've had to face, that you've had to face? You start out on the journey and it's calm and it's nice, and all of a sudden, bang, the waves are taller than the boat and you're bailing water. Maybe you feel like you're bailing water today. Maybe that's the storm. Cheryl and I on Sunday after church in Coeur d'Alene, we got in the car to make the 8-hour trip to Boise so we'd be in time for the Monday meeting with our pastors. And we're driving along, and it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day here. It was a beautiful day over there. And all of a sudden, we start up the grade going into Grangeville, Idaho, up into the canola fields. And as we got up to the top of that grade and I looked out and saw the sky, I said to Cheryl, I said, a storm's coming. She looked and she said, yeah, look at those clouds. They were dark. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. But we kept driving. We kept driving, but we knew a storm was coming. And as we were driving, as so often is the case with prairie or plains, those clouds just begin to come toward us, and we begin to go toward them. And all of a sudden, you begin to see it. Pow, 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 pow. Pow, 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 pow. The lightning bolts, the lightning flashes. Bang, 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 bang. And what was interesting is that we didn't hear anything. All we could do was see it. The lightning. Well, we couldn't hear anything. What I found out later, on the other side of the storm in Riggins, Bob and Peggy, in Riggins, Idaho, they were hearing the boom, boom, boom. But we were seeing the flash, flash, flash. They were enjoying the rodeo in Riggins, hearing the boom, boom, boom. We were in the car seeing the flash, you know, crash, the lightning. And Cheryl said, well, it looks like it's past. I said, no, get ready. And right above the car, here comes the lightning. She said, are we safe? I said, yeah, we're in a car. We got rubber tires. We're good. Let's enjoy this. So we weathered through the storm, enjoying it. Let the lightning bolts hit. It's okay. I'm in my van. Sometimes that's how sudden the storm comes. It's clear sailing. And all of a sudden, the lightning bolts begin to hit. That's what happened to Jesus. Suddenly, the sea arose. Verse 25. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, Lord, save us. We are perishing. How often in the storms of our life do you feel that way? We are perishing. Just being honest, we are perishing. How many's maybe been through a storm in your life? Maybe your marriage, maybe your finances. And you cry out to God and say, just in case you hadn't noticed, we're perishing down here. Just wanted to remind you. But how many know that God's got his eye on you? Even in the midst of the storm. Well, he's asleep in the boat. Yeah, it's a great pattern. Sleep your way through the storm. That's going to be great. Jesus was tired, but they woke him up and he said this. Why, verse 26, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And I don't know that Jesus was as much reprimanding them for the fact that they woke him up. The storm was going on in the boat. I think it was more for the fact that Jesus had been working with them and training them and told them they had a mission. and that they were going to be in Jerusalem for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and this little storm on the lake was not going to stop them. They had forgotten that. They had forgotten they had a destiny that God was going to take them through. The storm kind of blinded them to that fact. But I'm telling you this right now. You have a destiny. You're headed somewhere, and no storm that comes against you is going to stop you from getting where God wants you to get. Amen. Amen. And so, don't be of little faith, Jesus said. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. This little storm, it's just a little inconvenience. And then Jesus arose, verse 26, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Another version of this story says Jesus said, literally in the Greek language, be muzzled to the winds and the storm. Or be quiet. And all of a sudden, they were quieted. It was a great calm. How could Jesus do that? It's because he was the creator of the universe. He was there in creation at Genesis, right? And when it says God said, let there be light, Jesus was right there as well. God created the universe. He created the waters. He created the lake. He created that which created the storm. And it has to obey the creator. And so your storm has to obey the creator. Because any storm that you're going through is not unique to you, but somebody somewhere else has gone through the same storm. And when you're through that storm, let me tell you, you're going to be able to help somebody else that's going through one. Amen? There's a reason for the storm. Verse 27, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? What sort of man is this? Who is this? Well, I'll tell you who it is. It's Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, that reigns over the storm. And whatever you're going through, whatever storm you might have be going through or will go through, we need to commit it into the hands of the Master of the storm. Praise the Lord. One more verse this morning. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 7. If you would turn there, please. And then I want you to see a picture on the screen. John chapter 10, verse 7. And I want to borrow four words from this passage. And you'll see the connection in a moment. John 10, 7, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. In a place called La Jument in France, at a little piece of land that sticks out into the North Atlantic, it is called by the French the end of the earth. That's literally what it translates in French. At the end of the earth, and just beyond that point of land, there is an island, and on that island there is a lighthouse. And that lighthouse is famous today because of a photographer, Jean Guichard, who, knowing the storms that come to that point of France all the time, know that the waves oftentimes will be larger than the lighthouse. So Jean Guichard felt like he wanted to take some pictures. So he got in a helicopter, and the helicopter pilot took him for the storm that was going on. And as he got there, he saw this picture. We'll see the first one, Jim. And you'll see this picture sometimes in bookstores, and it'll say something like courage and whatever. And so what this photographer saw in the first, on my left, on your right, I believe as you're looking at it, he saw the lighthouse and the wave starting. Then the second picture, you see the wave encompassing it. And then the third picture down below is this wave has completely surrounded the lighthouse. Now, what you don't see is that previous to these waves, there were other waves come over the top of the lighthouse, had actually broken through the windows, and it started flooding the lighthouse. The backstory of this iconic picture is the fact that the lightkeeper had called for help. He needed rescue. And so when he heard the helicopter blades of what he thought was his rescue, which wasn't, it was the photographer, the next picture shows the lightkeeper right about the middle of the lighthouse. He's standing on the outside when this wave starts coming. Now the photographer goes, wow, and he's going click, 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 click on with his camera. This guy thinks it's his rescue. He steps out, and what you don't see in the first pictures is that this massive wave, you can see how big it is, will encompass this whole lighthouse. And oftentimes people have said, whatever happened to that lighthouse keeper? A lot of people think he perished, but he didn't. Go back to the other picture, Jim, if you would. The backstory is that when this man, the lightkeeper, saw that it wasn't his rescue and saw the wave begin to engulf him, he simply opened the door, stepped inside and closed the door, and it saved him. The wave crashed. It didn't damage the door. The lightkeeper was saved and would later be rescued. He was saved because of the door. Jesus said, I am what? The door. And if we want to survive the storm, it's important to know where the door is. And we need to go through the door. Now, this lightkeeper never made any money off this picture. The photographer did. So the photographer took a life-size picture of this, delivered it to this lightkeeper who's now retired, and signed it and said, I want you to have this as a memento of what pictures I took, because this has been an inspiration for people around the world. And the backstory is that it was the door that saved his life. When you're going through a storm, know that Jesus is the door. Storms need to send us to Jesus. In Revelation 3:20, it says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hear my voice, I will come into him and I will supper with him. Once you've opened the door to Jesus, then get ready, because there are going to be times you'll have to go into Jesus to be saved from the storm. What is the secret of surviving the storm? It's knowing who to go to. It's knowing how to open the door, which is Jesus, and get inside till the storm passes. Praise God. There's an old song that talks about until the storm passes by, hiding until the storm passes by. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're going through a storm, and it looks like you're going to perish. But just like this picture, you're going to go through the door, rest in Jesus, the waves will subside, and you will be rescued. And you will make it, because he's the master of the sea. And he calms the storm. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Yeah, let's give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to pray for us today. Before I do, though, I want to encourage all of you that have a lady in your life to take this day and let them know how much you appreciate them. And whatever your plans might be, you know, maybe you go to dinner or lunch, or you might just go home and sit on the deck, or I don't know, maybe you'll go home and she'll say, I got a list of things for you to do. Take a moment to let that lady know how important she is to you. Just tell her. And I don't care if you had words before you came to church. And I didn't get a text. No one emailed me. Nobody called and said, Pastor, could you please preach about jerk husbands? I don't get those. But maybe you had words before you came to church. Don't let that stop you from saying, sweetheart, I love you. And you mean more to me than you'll ever know. And whether it's your wife or daughter or mother or whoever it is. Now, I recognize that there are ladies here that perhaps don't have someone in your life that can express that to you. What I want you to know is that you are special to the God of heaven. Amen? You are special to the God of heaven. And what you don't see in this picture, because we couldn't put it on full, is that some people, when they see the full scope of this, with the top of the picture and the clouds in the back, some have said that they've seen a smile in the clouds behind it, and this wave almost looks like arms surrounding. That's another take on this iconic picture. Know this, that the arms of Jesus embrace you, and He loves you. But take a moment to express to that woman in your life how valuable she is to you. And so, Lord, we thank you today for everyone that was here, second service, first service. I pray the same prayer, and I'll pray it now. I pray blessing upon our ladies, every one of them. They are special to us. The young and the older, Lord, they will never know how valuable, how precious they are to us, but how precious they are to God. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the mariners, for the sailors, for the believers that are on the ship and they're sailing to their destiny. They're sailing to where God wants them to be. And the storm comes up, but they know that they can hide behind the door, that Jesus is the door. And if they'll go in the door, they'll survive. They'll make it through. They're going to make it to their destiny. So for those who are going through a storm right now, give them courage. Give them strength. Help them to see Jesus right there with them. For those who may have a storm ahead of them, Lord, let them prepare by going into the door as this brave light keeper did and wait out the storm till it passes. For those who have gone through storms, we know we made it because of Jesus. Wherever we are, we thank you that you calm the storm. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You believe that today? Let's thank the Lord for it. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful day. If we don't see you before, we'll see you next Sunday in the house of the Lord. God bless.